Thank you, Brother Arthur, Ms. Lauren, Ms. Kay. Thank the Lord for those that are ministering in music, and Jennifer, and who else did I see down here musical? Was it Meredy? Is that right? Mandolin. Thank you so much. And serving the Lord in music. If you play an instrument, you know, you feel free. Even if it's a harmonica, you know, we'll put you over there. Amen. Amen. How many of you play the harmonica, just out of curiosity? Anybody here? All right, I want to see you after the service. I'm just kidding. I like it, though. I like the harmonica. That's a blessing. What do I like about it? Man, it's just, I don't know. It's just something about it. I like it. And, I like to hear people that, you know, how to play it, of course. My kids get on those things and, you know, it's not a sanctifying experience, I tell you. But they have fun with it. I've had one. That thing's about done with. They've stepped on it and crushed it and still try to make a tune. But it is all good. Well, praise the Lord. Just want to follow up with Brother Arthur said. We do have these flyers made up. We got 100 of them. So would you at least take one with you, maybe more, but at least one with you, and invite someone in the coming weeks so that they can put it on their fridge or somewhere where they can be seen. And what's unique about our VBS, and some other churches do this, but I think it's rather unique for us, is that we also have one for the teens, for 7th grade through 12th grade. And I want to tell you, it is a week of revival for the teens and for the young people. We have those two evangelists that come in. They're trained to preach Bible messages that stir the heart and motivate to serve Christ. And so we're going to put a lot of prayer into this, a lot of effort. But please do your best to promote it. And these are in the back, right, Brother Arthur? Okay. And, you know, with our theme being chosen to be a good soldier, I was thinking about all the different ways that we could decorate for this VBS. And this one's going to be fun. I really am excited about it, you know. And I just want to encourage you, if you have any decor, I think Brother Arthur will mention that more to all the workers, but I'll just make a general announcement here. If you have some things that are military-like, we're going to put out the American flags around the property. We have those. But if you have anything else that we might could use, you bring it. It was Arthur's initial thought, but I thought we were almost going to get a true army tank here on the property. But that one might not go through. But we do have a possible army truck that we'll be able to put out on the property if everything works well. Talking with Brother Clyde about that, seeing what can be possible. But you just never know. We might have a helicopter out here in front of the church. You pray. We'll see what God will do. But nevertheless, you know, VBS is an exciting week. It is supposed to be a lot of fun. It is a lot of hard work. But it is so rewarding to see God's Word work in hearts. And so we'll have that meeting following the service. You just keep those things in mind. And I appreciate it. Well, you're there in Genesis chapter 15. We're just going to not read the whole passage here because, did I say Genesis? I'm sorry, Exodus. I'm sorry. It's the evening service. You'll forgive me. But here we go, Exodus 15. And just move with me up to, we're going to just read verse 26. And he said, this is the Lord speaking about the very fact that His desire is to test them, to prove them after they were complaining. And he told them that he would indeed bring healing. There would be a stick cast into the waters to make the water sweet. And we see that he says in verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, he says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the evening service, and thank you for, Lord, all that you've brought together tonight. Please help us to understand your word and to understand, Lord, the doctrine of healing and your desire and your will when it comes to helping us in our spiritual sicknesses and our physical sicknesses. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So we talked about this morning through the passage, and we understand the context. I don't want to go all back into those details. But we understand that God's primary use and reason for healing was spiritual. And as I mentioned this morning, the Lord makes it clear throughout the Word of God as you read each passage that deals with Jehovah Rapha. It is to grip the hearts of His children. It is to help them understand that He loves them and that He's wanting to do a work in their lives. And it is many times it is through correction, but as I was just talking with someone earlier, we were talking about how do we know God loves us? Well, we know primarily God loves us through His Word. He's revealed very clearly that He loves us. But never forget, the next way we know that's true evidence of God's love is that He what? He corrects us. And if you're a child of God and you sense God's correcting hand upon your life, that is a sign of God's love and how thankful we are for that. But as we look here, I do want to bring this question up again in reference to the physical healing, because there are sects of Christianity, specifically in charismatic circles, that would take this healing much further than I believe the Scriptures intended us to have, especially in this dispensation that we are in, where the Word of God is complete. Because you have to remember the accounts that we read, especially in the book of Acts, but even through the epistles, the Word of God was not complete. Until Revelation chapter 22 and the last verse was written, until then, it was most definitely a different age where God was using apostolic gifts very much, very clearly, but we even saw how the Lord would transition those out. So, question, what was the main reason Jesus came to this earth? Was it to heal us physically or spiritually? Would you look with me at Matthew chapter 1? I agree, spiritually. Matthew chapter 1, notice verse 21. Matthew 1, 21. The Bible says, "And she," this is Mary, "she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their" what? "Their sins." We know, folks, from the Word of God that yes, God does heal us from our sicknesses, from our physical sicknesses, but the primary reason He came was for redemption, for us to have the forgiveness of sins. And so we just want to make that clear. So another practical understanding of this thing of sickness and God healing us, Jehovah Rapha, we have to understand a practical aspect of our bodies. Our bodies aren't really getting better. All right. Well, let me ask you, is the body getting worse or better with time? Worse. Okay, there may be a few of us that have had a good day. Maybe you've been doing some different things and you're feeling even better. Maybe even some of you had an extra cup of coffee this afternoon and you're feeling really good. But for the most part, when we're speaking in the context of our bodies and time, it is getting worse. In fact, look over there in Romans chapter 8 with me for a moment. Just keep flipping over there in your New Testament and notice Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are living in corrupted bodies. And the reason I'm stressing this tonight, and I don't have time to get into all the ins and outs of charismatic theology, so I'm giving a little bit of an overview and just some things to think about. But the bottom line is, we have to ask ourselves tonight, and what does the Word of God say? Is it the will of God for His people to sometimes be sick? There are charismatic groups out there that would say emphatically, no, it is never God's will for His children to be sick. But the Word of God states otherwise. We know that it is due, our bodies are failing because of the curse of sin. And we notice there in chapter 8, notice verse 21. Chapter 8, verse 21, it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's where we are right now, in the bondage of corruption. And to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Forget this, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You see what this verse is saying. All of creation is groaning together. Some of us are grunting together. I used to be a little critical of my parents or my dad when every time they went to pick up something, it was always a little grunt. I'm doing it now. And I'm only 40. And I know that is it gonna get worse? Anybody want to encourage me tonight? It's only gonna get it worse. Some of you young people, I look at Gabby and Marianne and Bella and Thomas and others. I see Logan. I mean, what are they thinking about hurting all their the vitality of their life and vigor, and boy, they're ready to go, and there's no pains, but some of the rest of us are starting to feel it. And that's exactly what it is. We are groaning together, but one day, praise God, we will be set totally free. And we see how the bodies are failing. I look across this auditorium and I see some people wearing glasses, and some of you are hiding the fact that you wear glasses because you have contact lenses and we can't tell. Yeah, some of you are wearing hearing aids. And some of you turn them off sometimes when I'm preaching. I say that. But the fact of the matter is, we are. And so I think there are some charismatic teachings that misappropriate the doctrine of divine healing. And we have to be careful, because even not only do we understand the truth of the Word of God that we're all naturally getting sick, and sometimes it is the will of God. It is always the will of God, for instance, for us to be growing older, because that is the part of life. And until He calls us home or the heart stops, I mean, we are all dying in a sense physically. Our bodies are. But the fact of the matter is, we do face sickness. And it's very real to us recently in light of COVID-19 and whatnot. But I think of instances in Scripture where we see the saints of God who were sick and they were not in sin. Because charismatic teachers will also teach that if someone is sick, that is an evidence that they're in sin. Now, it could mean that. We see that in Corinthians, where he was teaching on the Lord's Supper, that there were some that were sick, even unto death, because of them partaking of the Lord's Supper in a dishonoring manner. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. Let me just name a few here. Let's think about Epaphroditus. Notice with me over in Philippians. You just flip over a few books there. Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. Notice with me in chapter 2. Chapter 2. He's given the testimony of Epaphroditus and a co-laborer together with Paul. And he was a leader in the Philippian church who was going to bring the financial gift to Paul, and in whom actually Paul sent home with this letter, this specific Bible letter here. But we see in the Word of God in verse 25, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death." This was no just seasonal cold. This was a very serious sickness that this man had. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So we see here that this is an example of a servant of Christ who was doing the will of God, and he was not in sin, but he almost died of sickness. Notice with me also of Trophimus. If you go over to 2 Timothy, you just flip over a few more books there. Philippians, you go past Thessalonians, then you go to 1 and 2 Timothy. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's concluding his letter here to Timothy, notice what he says in verse 20. "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." This man was, Trophimus was a co-laborer with Paul. He served with Paul. He was faithful. But yet, Paul just gave the testimony that he was sick, not because of his sin. But even notice Timothy, and notice 1 Timothy. Just flip back a couple pages, would you? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul's instructing this young preacher who was obviously dealing with some personal sickness. Not personal sin, but himself. Notice what he says in verse 23. "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Now, it's obvious here that this was a sickness that Timothy was experiencing often. And a lot of times the water was just no good in this age. A lot of times it was contaminated very easily. It wasn't able to be preserved as well. And in fact, I found that to be so true, especially in Niger. I mean, you come here, pretty much you can drink out of any water fountain or the sink, wherever you may be here in the church. I mean, you're pretty much going to get some purified water. Well, back in this day, it was nothing like that. And even in Niger, I mean, we had to be super careful about the type of water. It really messed us up. But Paul is saying, look, you need to just drink a little wine, which I believe was grape juice. Some would say, well, this is alcoholic. Well, if it was just a little bit. It was a very, very low percentage. And you say you think that it's right for a Christian to have some alcohol medicinally? Well, perhaps in the context of NyQuil, yes, because it does have some in it. And I'm very thankful for NyQuil, and I have profited from that greatly. Now, I didn't drink the whole bottle, but nevertheless, for medicinal purposes, it was good. But that's my point is right here, is that Paul, if Timothy was in sin, Paul maybe would have said, "Timothy, get right with God. That's why your stomach's hurting, brother. Stop being in sin. Or maybe even, if we follow some of the teaching of the charismatics, Timothy, you just need more faith. You hear that often. If you just had more faith, you would be well. But no, this was a practical situation where this brother's stomach was giving him problems often. And Paul said, you drink yourself some juice there and get better, Timothy. Timothy was right with God. Also, Paul himself, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul himself had a thorn in the flesh, and we do believe that it most likely it was a physical malady. There was something to his body that was bothering him, and we don't know what it was specifically, but we know Paul wasn't in sin, and we know Paul was suffering, and even Paul said, Lord, would you take this from me? And we saw where the Lord told Paul, no, but I'm going to give you something that's going to be sufficient. It's going to be my grace. And I'm going to bless you with that. And Paul most gladly, therefore, praised God for that infirmity. And so we understand that point. Jehovah Rapha does bring physical healing to our bodies. Nobody's denying that. I'm not saying that we should in any way take away that great truth. In any way should we underemphasize or de-emphasize, I should say, that wonderful truth. But we understand that in the healing that we see in the apostolic age, it was done by the apostles for a specific reason. Let me say here in 1 Corinthians, would you go over there? I want to look there just for a moment. The miracles of healing actually were a very real gift. I mean, it's so clear in the Word of God that there was a miraculous healing. Jesus Himself, just multiple times, the apostles, multiple times, that were healing people left and right. Peter and even Paul, we see it. So there's no denying that. No one's would ever, I hope, would not deny the fact that that gift was very real and used. But notice with me in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul is going to teach that as that gift that he's referring to, it's going to be transitioned out. There's going to be something more important than the sign gifts, even though they are important right now. Notice what he says with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 and 31. He's speaking of the sign gifts and chapter 12, verses 28. And he says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now follow his point here. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But notice verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that goes right into the classic passage on love. Paul is saying, church, that more important than any apostolic gift that you can have is the gift of love. That's what's going to change lives. That's what's going to reach people. And how much we emphasize that. And Paul would go on to teach in chapter 13. I don't have time to read that whole passage on love. But we understand that Paul says you can go and do all these things. But if you have not the gift of love, he says he uses the terminology there that it is a waste. It is vain. But notice what he says in chapter 13, verse 10. I'll read verse 9. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I believe that this verse is speaking to the testimony of when this book is complete. When the Word of God is complete, when that last verse in Revelation is written, we understand that those gifts are going to fade away because they are no longer needed. Why? Because what was the purpose of the sign gifts, such as healing? That's what we're not talking about, all the others. But the miracles were for the purpose of validating the message of the gospel. And remember, we have to remember, they did not have all what we have today when they were hearing the gospel message. And that dispensation where they were transitioning from the law, the age of law, into the age of grace, and the context of understanding the cross and understanding that bridge that Jesus brought through His sacrifice, something they looked forward to and believed in. But the fact of the matter is, we understand there needed to be sign gifts that God gave them. But it's because they didn't have the whole Word of God. And we do now. And we thank the Lord for that. So it was to validate the message, the very fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and is the Messiah. So I want to end there with that, just in the context of understanding some of the spiritual healing that we have. But here's another question. Does God bring physical healing today? Absolutely. Well, He sure does. But it is not in the context of you guys taking turns to come up here and allow me to lay hands on you. Okay? And well, it looks like when you see those things on TV, it looks like people get knocked out. They go flipping back. And it's crazy. That's not the healing that we are talking about physically. It's not, I just heard of recently up in Gainesville, this is a couple years ago, but the front of the church, they had this lamp of some sort. I don't even know. They didn't have a picture of it. But it was leaking oil from it. I don't know what kind of oil, but people, they were saying that if you got a hold of that oil, you would be healed. And they had to put security guards at the front door of the church because the place was packed. And people were standing out, filling up the front yard, and they were wanting to get in here and get that oil because they had heard about people being healed and whatnot. And you say, listen, how can that be? Somebody, and maybe you've met somebody that says, yes, I went to one of those crusades, or I went to one of those things and I was healed. What do you say to that? Sometimes it's kind of awkward because, I mean, what are you going to, the person knows their own body, so what do we say? Well, I'll tell you what I say, and I try to be very gracious. I say, well, what I understand in the Word of God is that God has power to heal, but so does Satan. The demons have power to heal people. You can go to Matthew chapter 7, and very clearly their testimony was given. We cast out demons in your name. There was healing done. And it was in the name of Christianity, or in the name of Christ. He said, Lord, Lord, in your name. And I tell you, people, there is a supernatural work of Satan out there. And what is his goal? Don't ever forget this. We as Christians can sometimes forget this. His goal is to counterfeit, is to bring forth counterfeit of what the real thing is, to deceive people. So my point is that does God heal? Yes, but there are specific ways that God heals that we have to follow in the Word of God, but otherwise you get off track. It brings the attention to man, and it just truly confuses people. And God is not the author of confusion. So how do we see God heal? Well, I know He does. Let's look real quick here. You're in 1 Corinthians, maybe. I'm not sure, but would you flip back to 1 Corinthians 6? I'm going to move through these quickly, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice what verse 19 says. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 18. Paul says, flee fornication. That's any kind of sexual immorality. He says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Right here in this passage, I want to share a couple truths with you in a way that we can bring healing to our bodies. Number one, it's clear in Scripture that we can avoid sickness in our lives by fleeing immorality and fornication. God says clearly in His Word that when a person sins in the area of sexual sins, he's damaging his own body. And the point I'm going to make here that I do believe God is teaching here, when a person goes to that degree, what he is indeed doing, he is expediting the corruption process of the body. And it is the curse of sin, but it's interesting that Paul says of all the sins, the sexual sins are the ones that will hurt your body. He said it is one of them. And he says to avoid that, he says to flee it. That's to run from it. That's to get away from it. As Joseph responded in the time of temptation to Potiphar's wife, he fled. And I don't believe it's just in the context of sexually transmitted diseases. I believe that is a part of it. But I believe psychologically to the mind and to the body, it plays effect and it causes damage. And I do believe if we want to keep our bodies strong and our minds clear, we flee sexual immorality. Would you say amen? We have to believe that as a church. And when there is that immorality, you know what we talked about this morning. There is Jehovah Rapha who calls us to come unto Him and He heals us of that, delivers us from that and keeps us from that because He is dependable, trustworthy. God will do that. And I just know that you're not going to contradict the Word of God. It's true. Our bodies belong to the Lord as believers. And it will damage us if we decide to go against His Word. But then also, here's some practical things that when it comes to taking care of our bodies, because He goes on to say, you know, listen, your body is the Lord's. And some things that we can prevent sickness are healthy eating. I believe that that is something that, you know, we have to keep before us. One of the things that I know I really enjoy is I really enjoy sweets. Does anybody else here like sweets? I had some good sweets today. Amen. I had some good. It was real good. But I believe that one of the things that we can avoid sickness to the body is just not overindulging to where our bodies are damaged. And it's one thing if you have dessert a day, but it's another thing if you have dessert 10 times a day. That's excessive. And that's what I believe he's talking about. Just in healthy eating, we live within reason. We know God hath made these things for us to enjoy and we give thanks over them. Somebody said, can you pray over Krispy Kreme donuts? I said, I do it all the time. But with all seriousness, we do. We just need to be careful of that, trying to do things with balance and discipline. But I also think in the realm of exercise, we need to make an effort to be active. That doesn't necessarily mean going to a gym. It doesn't necessarily mean going out for a jog. Somebody need to get that. Is that a... Oh, tornado. Tornado. I thought it was beautiful outside. Maybe it's an Amber Alert. Some of you were under conviction there about thinking about donuts and the alarm went off. But with all honesty, we think about exercise, and it doesn't necessarily mean joining the gym. I know what one lady said when she was talking about she didn't like jogging. She said, I cannot be convinced. She says, not one time in my whole life have I seen anybody jogging and smile at the same time. There's some truth to that. But I think the point is when it comes to avoiding sickness, I do believe we need to stay active as much as possible. However you might be, and that might be, my grandmother had this, this little hand, I don't even know what it's called, the hand grip or whatnot, and she just exercised with that thing, just keeping her grip strong. And that was a form of exercise for her. And others I've seen that. The idea is if all possible, we should be active in some way. We know that the Word of God says that, that exercise profiteth little. That's true. It does help. It is profitable. And then in closing, I want to say this. How can we see divine healing in our lives today in this dispensation? I do believe it is through the power of prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 13, the Word of God says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I do believe this was in the context there at the end, if he had committed any sins, if that sickness that he was being healed from, if it was a result of sin, he would be forgiven as well for his spiritual, sinful decisions. It would be a double healing. But it doesn't necessarily mean it was because of sin, but it very well could have been. The option is there. But we see here the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So how does that work? Well, I believe it works just like we see here. We just had this happen recently in our church. They wouldn't mind me telling you. I know they wouldn't. But Rick and Sherry Shaw, Miss Sherry was going in for a surgery on her neck to have a portion of that was cancerous removed. And they were going to have to put her to sleep. And so it was a thing that she was concerned about. So what did she and Rick do together? Well, by faith, again, that's what I believe the context is. By faith, they came to the local church elders. And I believe elders in this context are just the leaders in the church. And they came, she and Rick came and said, hey, we would like for you to pray, the elders, the people of the church, to pray for us. And we were all praying, but specifically the anointing of the oil. And so what does that mean? Well, number one, I do not believe there was any special power in the oil in this passage, neither when we did it the other day. The oil is symbolic of the faith that is in the Lord. And so as the oil was put upon her, Brother Rick applied the oil, and we as the leaders in the church, there's about six or seven of us, we just are all in the same room together, and we just prayed. We just cried out to God to have mercy upon our sister and to heal this cancer and to let it be removed and to God be the glory. God answered our prayer. And it was a successful surgery. And there may be more to come. We don't know that. But the fact of the matter is, I believe that is the context of that passage. And so God does bring divine healing. And it does require faith, but especially the faith of the person who is sick. To believe, you know what? Can God heal me? I do want to believe that. And I do believe the Lord does, as He says right here in His Word. The sick person having faith to boldly seek healing from God by asking the elders of the church to pray. Now, here's the question. What if God doesn't heal someone? Well, we have to understand, like we mentioned earlier, we have to answer this not as a cop-out. Again, please understand me. Not as a cop-out.
But we have to understand that sometimes it is God's will for us to be sick. Okay. But then there are times where God will hear our cry for mercy as we come to Him by faith saying, Lord, please have mercy in this situation. And please deliver Your child and Your servant dealing with this. And we pray it for Your glory. And we trust that God will do that. But I believe that is the balance that when we think about physical healing, we think about our personal responsibility and avoiding the sin in our lives that would damage our bodies, things that would damage us. And, it is clear in Scripture and taking care of ourselves. But then there's the prayer aspect where we come to the Lord and say, Lord, would You heal us in this situation? Would You heal this person? And maybe you're praying that right now for yourself or for another. And I would encourage you, don't stop. Don't stop. You let the Spirit of God lead you in that, and there's nothing wrong. But in the meantime, we do trust the Lord that He can use sickness in our lives to glorify Himself. And as we said even this morning, to bring us closer to Him. We will get into this more as we go into 1 Corinthians as a study that I'm planning on doing, Lord willing, in the near future. But for now, that will suffice for this evening. Let's pray together.